5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is Primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready? Bam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light. The world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Dropping Suk on Friday.
Rocking you
hard.
The triumphant return of Isaac Rop.
I'm back. Thank you for putting up with... Wait, I'm stuck. What was I trying to say?
I don't know, but I think that was going horribly wrong. I think you were about to give a wicked backhanded compliment.
Well, no, I don't even know who did the show. I think John did one.
So what do we did? I did one, Mike did one, John did one, Luke did one.
Wow.
It was a team effort. Yes. Yeah.
It was a team effort.
Well, thank you for filling in.
Got passed around.
For me. And, thank you for inviting me back.
Sure. I think contractually you're obligated to come back.
That's true.
Although we didn't think you'd be back today. We did have a contingency plan.
I kind of needed to come back today.
Did you?
I kind of just wanted to.
It happens.
Yeah.
Kind of takes your mind off things. Although I'm sure Lynch is... Lynch, you weren't going to do it today,
nope. Right?
Who was going to do it today?
Today was going to be... Well, I guess I thought Suk was out of town today, but today was going to be Luke and Suk.
Bro.
Okay, but then you're not.
No, I'm back.
Well, I tell you what, today's been fluid.
It has been. I was getting ready to go to the airport an hour and a half before my flight when the Stanford-Cal game got canceled, thus canceling my trip down to Berkeley.
Well,
we're convinced that it was merely a conspiracy. It was a plot to keep me and Wilcox out of Berkeley.
No.
They weren't ready for what we were going to bring to that town. I just got a text the night before from Josh telling me to warm up my liver.
No one is ready for Josh Wilcox ever.
No.
And
don't pretend like you ever are either.
No, you never are.
And, no one can be prepared for that.
I mean this in no offense to you, but it doesn't matter who's with him. You aren't making a difference. He is a tornado.
The storm was blowing
He's
in.
He's an F5.
Yes.
And you're just a little twig in the wind.
Exactly. I'm like the cow in Twister that gets caught up in his F5. But we were going to go down and then...
Well, that would have been fun.
And that got derailed. So we got rescheduled for December 1st, so maybe we'll end up down there again.
Here we are, reunited yet again.
And it feels so good.
We have, we're going to set your college football DVR in our next segment. I do have a prize bribe this hour. There will be a conversation with Joey Harrington that will not include me, and then we'll have the club. That's our schedule.
That's about right. And we have to shamelessly promote our Civil War party as well.
Yes. Yes. Do you want to do that now?
Yeah.
Let's do that now.
It's Monday.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, it's Friday, but who's on first?
The Civil War party is going to be Monday.
Yes.
This coming Monday.
Yes.
Tickets are only $10.80. All the proceeds would go to the food bank. I believe that's where
Oregon Food Bank.
Oregon Food Bank.
Doing great.
And Big Al's out in Beaverton, and you should come. And if you don't, the boss is going to yell at us because we haven't been promoted enough. So come on out. You get snacks. There's appetizers. Beverages will be had. We got prizes. There's like former players to show up. Look, it's a great time. You can come drink with Rob. So basically,
I'll be drinking.
Oh, Wilcox is going to be there too. So the tornado will be there, which means there'll be a final. So basically, for $11, under $11, you know, get to hang out and party. Come on by.
I remember last year we stayed, I mean, not like super late, but we stayed and had some drinks with some listeners and stuff. And we had a great time.
Yeah, we did. The Naked Winery guys showed up and they were great. And
look, here's my best sell on this. It's a Monday night.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is the same week. So you're about to be inundated with a bunch of family you don't want to talk to. Why would you go home to your kids?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Like, why would you do that?
That needs to be a night for you.
You want something to do so that you can desperately avoid walking in that door like you do every other night of the week. Mm-hmm. Come hang out with us. It's only $10.80, and then you don't have to. Your kids will be in bed by the time you get home. It's great.
Exactly. So do it. Make it Monday. Put it on the calendar. Big Al's in Beaverton. Come join us. And by the way, you can get your tickets online, 1080thefan.com.
Beat me to it. All right, I think we're ready for an abbreviated Hot 5 at 5.
Oh, and by the way, hot great topics, Monday night game.
Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Got him!
Yeah, Chiefs Rams, right?
Yeah, number Chiefs Rams. Five. So that's gonna be on the. On,
that's fantastic.
Well, Big Al's has like a 9-foot, you know, television up there.
Let's
so,
do this.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so that's Monday night. Ducks win. They did not look good last night, losing to Iowa. I'm talking about the basketball team.
Yeah.
They beat Syracuse today, 80-65, out of New York.
So here's the question: yeah. If Oregon was playing Syracuse in basketball and football, wouldn't the one you feel confident about winning was football, but not so much this year? If Oregon and Syracuse were playing in on the old gridiron there, you would think it would be a Syracuse win.
Well, I would think it would be a Syracuse sweep because Syracuse is good. Boeheim's still there. They're 15th, and Oregon did not look good last night.
No, that was dreadful.
They rallied. Bo Bol had 26 today.
Well, and he was the kind of the one bright spot. I didn't watch all of the Iowa game because it was dreadful. But
no, he did not play well against Iowa.
I didn't think he did.
He got benched for being having no effort on defense. He only got 14 points.
He had the the beat up calf too.
Yeah, he had a cramp. But I read something today on Twitter. I was looking at Twitter. I'm like, somebody was going, "Oh, Bol Bol was the bright spot in the." Iowa game. I'm like, what?
No.
And they watched the same game?
The bright spot was Ehab Amin. He was the only guy who played well for the Ducks.
Yeah, what do you have, a 23, 26, something like that?
Yeah. Oregon State won today. They beat Old Dominion 61-56.
Yeah, they rallied. They were like 17 down.
Were they that much?
Yeah, and they came roaring back. It's not been good for the Pac-12. Have you seen
Here we go with that again.
Well, have you seen what's happening in the Pac-12?
Not
yet. Basketball-wise?
No.
It's dreadful. It's worse than what's happening in football.
Oh, wow. Well, that's no good.
No. They're good at swimming, though.
Hey, the Beavs are 3-0, though.
Go Beavs.
Cal-Stanford football game moved to December 1. There are fires down there.
Yes.
Smoke.
So the air quality. They canceled the Cal basketball game last night. I guess like they left some of the doors open. The smoke got in the building.
Wow.
So they had to cancel that. And I think some of this, from my understanding, some of it was the fear of air quality. Another was just more maybe a PR sort of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, then maybe just, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to be playing a football game during all that.
Yeah, with all that going on. And so maybe it was just, it made sense for everyone.
You can play it December 1. That's
to just kind of punt on it.
Because neither team's going to the Pac-12 title game.
No.
All right. Number 3. Ah, yes. Joe Flacco, doubtful for the Ravens. Everybody's been kind of waiting to see what would happen there. But he is hurt, and Baltimore is playing Cincinnati this week.
Yes.
And that is not a good sign because I don't know if you've seen any of Lamar Jackson, but not good.
Lamar Jackson didn't practice some of this week, too. He's got the dreaded stomach issues.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got the bubble guts.
Mud butt.
So no one knows if it's going to be Lamar Jackson or if it's going to be the, speaking of triumphant returns, RG3.
How do you guys poo on the sideline? What do they do?
You don't. You got to run into
the. You just run back in the back.
Yeah,
now, do they pee? They just wherever?
Yeah, you can. Well, if you're like a lineman or whatever, you're sweating a bunch, you can just pee right there and it doesn't matter. Or you do the.
Will you whip it out and pee? Or what do you do?
No,
pee into a towel?
Yeah, you do the towel down the front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or back in the day, you get some guys that would surround you. But now you got that medical tent. You could probably
go back in there
and take care of business.
They should put a little potty back there.
They may have one.
For the guys.
I've never been
in
the medical
tent. Maybe a little powder room.
I'd love to see the update that comes on your phone. It's like.
Freshen up.
Jason Sukanik into the blue medical tent. Oh, he's back on the field with his helmet on. No worries.
Hey, we're good. Yeah, but if you've got the rumble guts, there's nothing you can do about
that. You
got
to run back.
You got to head to the locker room.
Dude,
Joe Paterno style.
That's brutal. I would disguise mine as like just running with the trainer. Be like, dude, trainer, you got to run with me.
Come with me.
Because if you're not running with the trainer, we all know what's going on.
Yes.
You got to poop. But if you're running with the trainer, it's like, oh, he's hurt. What's going on?
You come back with clean pants, too. Like, your pants are all, you know, dirty and grass stained, and you come back with a pair of clean pants, you know what's up.
Hey, Kansas football is finalizing a deal to make Les Miles the new leader of their program. This is according to Sports Illustrated.
So it sounds like their new GM is Jeff Long, that he had this
all... Well, he's not a GM, he's an athletic director.
Well, GM, athletic director. He had this all along, and that this was one of the reasons why they fired their coach, because they knew they had Les Miles.
Yes, yes, yes. So much effing yes.
Rock chalk.
I have two things to say. One, In 2006, there were 14 head coaches that were active in college football that had won a national championship. This year, there are four. Urban Meyer, Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, and Dabo Sweeney. Kansas, the worst program in college football, will have the fifth.
Would that... But you could say the same thing if they hired Gene Chizik, and would you be excited about that?
No, I crush your head. I crush your head. No. Who cares about him? He's not in... F him. Les Miles is a godsend to a program like Kansas.
He will be chewing the cud on the sidelines soon in Memorial Stadium.
I cannot wait. Season tickets, here I come.
Seems like that's a bit maybe...
I don't live there.
Bit of a travel.
Give him to my kids.
There you go.
And then number one, we got the Trailblazers tonight. They are underway in Minnesota, and it's the T-Wolves up 5 early on.
How about those jerseys?
Yeah, they're
wearing the Prince-themed jerseys. They're awesome.
Well, people are asking, like, why are they purple? They're their city editions, and they're a tribute to Prince.
Yeah, you're talking about Minnesota's.
Yeah, Minnesota's wearing purple unis. And
I just don't want to confuse anyone.
And there's some people here that are asking, why the hell is Minnesota in purple? It's
That's
Prince.
Why.
That's their city uniform.
I still can't get used to the fact that Prince was from Minneapolis.
I know.
It's just weird.
But is there a guy that has dominated a city and a color quite like Prince?
No. No.
I mean, no one else has
chance.
A color, right?
That's right.
Like, I don't care who you like, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, whoever. Like, no one owns a color. Prince owns the color purple.
And by the way, Minnesota's won two in a row, but they are still near the bottom in the West. Like, Phoenix is the only team worse in the West. So,
but it's got to be a relief for them to have the Jimmy Butler thing over, because that thing was a boondoggle.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see how they do now without him. So that is your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Coming up next, we'll set your college football DVR. 518 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up in our next segment, we will have a hard-hitting, probing conversation with Joey Harrington.
Oh, we'll probe. Well, you won't probe, but I'll probe.
And I will not be involved in it because it was taped yesterday when I was out. So it's Mike and Souk,
yes.
But it will run at its regularly scheduled time.
Yes,
which is next segment.
But we promise probing. And this guy on the Better You Today text line is correct, because I said there's no one that dominates a color, Prince like purple, Johnny Cash in the color black. Two people own colors.
Ooh, that's good.
I mean, I was trying to think of someone else that just owns a color.
That's real
and
good.
Yeah, I mean, he's the man in black.
Yes, he is, and he was the ridge.
Yeah,
on the whole color thing.
Yeah, he was before Prince. So I stand corrected. Thank you, Better You Today text line.
All right, cue the music there, Maestro. Before we get to Joey, let's set your college football DVR. Here's what's going on tomorrow. I have not looked at a damn thing, so this is going to be... I'm walking through this with you.
you're going in blind.
9 a.m. Ohio State's playing at Maryland on ABC.
Ohio State, I don't know if you've seen any of Ohio State.
Yeah, I've watched them.
But boy, they just, I mean, they're finding ways to win, and they're going to set themselves up where if they beat Michigan, well, they got to get through Maryland, but they should. And then they get through Michigan. Ohio State's got a real chance to make the college football playoff, but boy, they look terrible. Like, Urban Meyer looks awful on the sidelines. Like, they can't run the ball. There's no offense. It's a good thing their defense is playing lights out.
You know,
otherwise, they'd be in a world of trouble.
Everybody says Urban Meyer looks awful. I don't really see that.
Really?
Huh.
No. You watch
He looks the same to me.
To me, when he looks thin. He's always bending over, like kind of grabbing his knees. There's a couple times he's gone down to one knee and grabbed his head. He even won't commit. He said that he wants to coach as long as he can. It wouldn't shock me one bit, because supposedly this, what is it? Is it Ryan Day? Who's the, or is it Todd Day?
Ryan Day.
Supposedly this is like the wonder kid that they love and the coach in waiting. It wouldn't shock me if this is the end of Urban Meyer.
So Urban Meyer's the new Jerry Kill?
He does appear.
You remember that guy?
Yeah. Looked like he kept having seizures.
Dude, he collapsed on the sideline like twice.
Yes. I just think Urban Meyer's days at Ohio State are numbered.
Where will he coach next?
Well, he's got to take a year off and then pretend that he's healthy and that he's not obsessive, and then he'll resurface like at USC.
Michigan State, Nebraska is probably the best game at 9 a.m. That'll be on Fox.
Alabama and the Citadel?
God.
Are you missing that?
Yes, I am. Glossed right over it.
How bad do you feel if you're the Citadel, by the way, getting ready to play this game?
Are you genuinely scared as a player?
I think if you're the Citadel, you're nervous. And there's probably some people that are upset.
Do they want to play that game or do they not want to play?
There will be a group of people that want to play it, but there will also be a group of people that, if they're being honest with themselves, that's not fun. It's not fun to go out and get your ass kicked like that. And I just think some of these games, I understand that programs like the Citadel need the paycheck, but it's just, it's ridiculous. It's like when, who was it? Florida State beat someone like 81-3.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's not competitive. That's not fun. That's not a challenge. It's lambs to the slaughter. So no, the Citadel should not play Alabama. And I think the vast majority of those players, if they were being honest, don't want to play Alabama.
10:30, Pac-12 Network. 10:30, weird start time, but okay. Utah at Colorado.
Well, big game too, because if Oregon finds a way to beat Arizona State, which at home, very real possibility there, and Utah wins out, Utah wins the South.
Yep.
And they don't. And by the way, this is Utah's last game in the conference. They play BYU at the end of the year. But the Utes, this will be big because Utah needs to win this and an Arizona loss, and Utah goes.
Now, did you guys talk while I was away about Colorado? Did they fire McIntyre?
There was a report that they fired him, and then the athletic director said that he doesn't comment on stuff like that, but then he commented on it, and then McIntyre said that as far as he knows, he has not been fired, which probably means that Mike McIntyre has indeed been fired.
Is that a mistake?
I thought there was a thing I saw somewhere that the site that reported it has not gotten things right all the time.
Oh, really? Okay. I was going to say, if they did fire him, is that a mistake?
I don't know if it's necessarily a mistake, but they're going to lose to Utah, and that'll be...
Seems like they have a case of the supposed as if they're firing him. He's pretty good.
Yeah, but you have to realize that this, if they have a losing record this year, and they will, he'll have one winning season at Colorado.
How many years? Only
one.
Like five?
I think this is 6 or 7. And I know that one year they won the South, but if this is 2 years in a row where the table is tipped over and the bottom's falling out, you know, and if you don't have any sort of momentum for recruits, if the boosters aren't paying any attention to you, then maybe it is time to get some new blood in.
Yeah, he's been there longer than I thought. So he's been there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is his sixth season. He's 30-43 and only had the 10-win year. Everything else, less than 5 wins.
Less than 5 wins.
Yeah, all right.
And so they finish up against what? Utah and Cal. If they lose both of those games, sub .500, I'm not going to say that you have to fire him, but I don't think it's a knee-jerk reaction if they do. But you better have someone good lined up.
Notre Dame, Syracuse, NBC at 11:30. That'll be a good game. They're playing that one in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and the Notre Dame is wearing the worst uniforms you've ever seen in your entire life.
Are you a Notre Dame guy? Do you like watching Notre Dame?
I don't mind watching Notre Dame. I think it's good for college football when Notre Dame is relevant.
Yeah, because they have so many fans.
They do have so many
fans. I kind of root against them.
And there's tradition. But yeah, but aren't they fun to root against? It's like the Yankees. I don't like the Yankees. But it's good for baseball when the Yankees are relevant. And again, it's fun to root against them.
I'm telling you guys, I am scary confident that Syracuse can win that game.
Oh, yeah, sure they can. Is Notre Dame's quarterback back?
Yeah, Book
he is back.
Notre Dame, I think
Syracuse is good.
Everyone seems to like want to like crap all over Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is good.
So is this like a year? So if they get, because they're undefeated.
They're undefeated.
And they beat Michigan. So if they get into the college football playoff, is this like the year where they got their ass kicked by Alabama?
Well, they may get their ass kicked by Alabama, but I think a lot of people would get their ass kicked by Alabama. I think Notre Dame is one of the 6 best teams in the country. Are they one of the best 4? I don't know. We'll see. But I do think Notre Dame is legit. I do not think they're overrated.
All right, scrolling down here.
And they're balanced. Which, like, Oklahoma has a phenomenal offense. Oklahoma can't play a lick of defense.
12:30 games, USC, UCLA. Sorry for laughing. That's on Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Clay Helton did come out and say that he is not going anywhere.
How does he know?
He told you. Not going anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
Plain and simple.
Tell you what, they can fire me. I ain't leaving.
No. I'm locked up here.
That's what they call the Swigart.
Just barricade yourself in the office. Good luck getting me out.
West Virginia, Oklahoma State, 12:30 on ABC. That's a big game.
No, there's not a ton.
Not like, lot of great stuff this week. Oregon State at Washington, 12:30 Pac-12 Network game. Kansas, Oklahoma. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
4:30 on Fox.
Can I? If I told you
Stanford, Cal is off.
Oklahoma, Kansas, and I put Oklahoma's point total at 68. Would you take? Would you take the over or under?
Under.
Think they hold them to 65?
Yeah.
Have you seen Oklahoma play?
I have, but
I think they're going to score 70.
I think they'll call the dogs off, and Kansas has looked better. Stanford, Cal, they're rescheduling that for December 1 due to wildfires. Iowa State, Texas, that's actually a big game in the Big 12.
Yep.
That'll be on at 5 on the Longhorn Network. Oh, my God. I don't even know if I have that. Why can't they put that on ESPN? What the F?
I don't know. That is weird.
That's really stupid.
Where is the Longhorn Network?
And then, well, ESPN owns it, so I'm sure I have. I don't know. Do you know if you have it?
I don't think I have it.
And then we've got Arizona, Washington State, 7:30 on ESPN, and then the Arizona State Oregon game is 7:30 on Pac-12 Network.
That Arizona Washington State game is sneaky. I think
for the Cougs.
Yeah, for the Cougs, I think that's a trap game.
Really? I think Arizona's playing better.
Arizona's playing better. They can run the ball.
That's 50%.
I hope
stupid.
They win, but that one scares me a bit.
All right, that's setting your college football DBR. Not a great Saturday. A little disappointed, not going to lie.
Yeah.
All right, the next conversation will be great because it does not involve me. Joey Harrington with Mike and Souk next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Joey Harrington in studio with us. Mike Lynch and Souk today on Primetime. And Joey joins us every single Friday. And before we get to some of the NFL stuff that I have in my mind, I do want to ask about Justin Herbert. And the fans are complaining about the play calling. They're complaining about Mario Cristobal's idea of an offense. And they're saying that those two guys are shortchanging Justin Herbert. They're not letting him perform to his full ability due to the play calling and the play style. Do you agree with that? Or is there a reason why you think Herbert's play kind of fell so quickly after the Stanford and Washington games?
I don't agree with it. I don't have a reason why his play fell. It goes back to, you know, what we were talking about last segment, you know, and just, you know, where do you start? But the fact that he did have such success against, I mean, the first half of the Stanford game,
it's about as good as you could play.
Oh my goodness. I mean, the guy was lights out. And last time I checked, that was still a Royal Colin plays and running Cristobal's offense, right? I mean, you can't have it both ways. The voices that are saying that Arroyo and Cristobal are holding Justin Herbert back are simply frustrated that Oregon is struggling offensively. And look, it's not one style. It's just a matter of executing what is called. And sometimes that falls on Justin, and sometimes it's the fault of other people. I mean, it's just that's the nature of football. I mean,
when things don't go the way people expect them to go, there no one wants to hear that it's a litany of things, or no one wants to hear that it's the way football is. People want
an answer.
They want an answer, and they want someone to blame, and they're not going to blame Justin Herbert.
Nope.
The easiest person to blame is the guy calling the plays, and if it's not the guy calling the plays, it's the guy who's in charge of everything.
There you go.
It's just that's the.
There you go.
That is the nature of the beast at every single level of football.
So switching gears to the NFL, I think the Patrick Mahomes story is really fascinating this year with the Chiefs. And there's a lot of different prongs to this, but I want to start with the sitting for a year versus starting immediately quarterback question. I know you came in week one and in your rookie year and started immediately from that point. So you've got some experience with that.
Week three. I sat for two whole weeks.
So Patrick Mahomes sits for a whole year.
Yep.
Plays week 17 last week.
Yep.
This year, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold starts right away. He looks amazing in week one. Everyone's like, give him the Hall of Fame jacket now. And now he's throwing four picks a game, and he got benched, or he's hurt for Josh McCown. Where do you sit on the whole benching a quarterback for a year that's a rookie or starting him right away?
What did Carson Palmer do?
Carson Palmer sat for an entire year.
Yeah. What did Philip Rivers do?
Yeah, he sat behind Drew Brees, right?
What did Eli Manning do?
Who did Eli sit behind?
Kurt Warner.
Was it Kurt Warner?
For a whole year?
For 14 games.
Yeah. Okay.
I am very much a believer that, and frankly, this comes just because of personal experience, that there are very few guys out there that can A, handle the pressures of an NFL, season immediately, you know, their first year, or B, have the resiliency to ride the wave that is such a long NFL year. If you look at the guys who have had success playing as a rookie, and let's not, well, Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball. I think he averaged 17 passes a game.
Run the ball and play defense.
Right. And the times
did he come in week four of his first year? Or
something like that. Tommy Maddox, I think, got hurt. For the year, Roethlisberger came in and they had the training wheels on him all year long.
Absolutely. Matt Ryan had Michael Turner run for about 1,800 yards that season. There is example after example.
Yeah, Russell Wilson comes to mind as another guy. Defense, run the ball, training wheels.
Absolutely. There are very few guys, and granted, there have been guys to come in and play right away and have success. I am a believer that the best, what did Aaron Rodgers do? Aaron Rodgers sat for three years. Yep. And what did Tom Brady do? I mean, you go through example after example, and there's such a rut because you're paying these guys so much money that there is this rush, this push to put them on the field, but so few people have the perspective and the patience to say, look, this is a long-term play. This isn't about, you know, trying to strike, you know, to strike gold right now. This is about developing the future. And unfortunately, what happens is that general manager who drafted that number one quarterback is in that number one position because they stunk the year before. Yeah. And so if they stunk the year before, then the owner / fan base is already upset with them. And so you draft that high quarterback and think, I don't want to draft this guy and sit him another year because that's pretty much guaranteed, only to have myself get fired and some new GM come in and take this quarterback and ride him out for 12 years. So they put him in the game.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It's not about the development. It's not what's best for the quarterback. It is what is potentially best for that general manager who drafted him and saving his job. There is example after example. And I will go to my grave saying that the best thing for the longevity of an NFL quarterback's career is to sit and watch, because I will tell you firsthand that I didn't know what I didn't know. And the experience you simply get is invaluable just by watching.
And you also think that, look, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year, but if Patrick Mahomes is in New York, he's not lighting the world on fire right now. There is something to be said for playing
in the right place at the right time.
Andy Reid is one of the best minds in NFL history when you talk about offense, and the man is an innovator. And you look at Tyreek Hill, you look at Kareem Hunt, you look at Kelsey, you look at one of the elite offensive lines. You put Patrick Mahomes in New York, even sat a year, and he's not throwing for 33 touchdowns. He's not winning an MVP. So, yeah, not only are you getting thrown sometimes to the wolves the first year, but a lot of times you're getting thrown with bad coaching and bad teams. There's a reason that you mentioned the reason why you stink a lot of times is you're on a crappy team that doesn't have it, and you get thrown in as a first-year guy, as you said, that doesn't know what you don't know. And, by the way, there's no one there to pick you up. So really a lot of it is circumstance. You can't convince me that if Tom Brady is a sixth round pick and he's in Cleveland that we're talking about Tom Brady right now. He's probably out of the league in 3 years.
The best thing in my mind is to be the 17th pick of the draft. Be the 19th pick of the draft.
Where was Mahomes?
And sit for a year. It is a recipe for success.
Yeah, and that's what he sat behind Alex Smith, who was very good.
Yep.
And by the way, for all the numbers, and look, I'm not trying to say that the Kansas City offense is the same, but if you go back and look at what Alex Smith did with Andy Reid in this same collection of talent, the numbers aren't that much different. Alex Smith in Kansas City were pretty damn good last year.
Yes.
And so, you know, granted, Andy Reid was smart enough to realize, hey, there's a ceiling here with Alex Smith. There's not one with Patrick Mahomes. And that was a big move to get rid of a Pro Bowl quarterback to go on a second round guy or to go with a second year guy. But Andy Reid had faith in it. But let's not act like Patrick Mahomes came in and took the worst offense in the world and turned it into something that was really good. Patrick Mahomes took an elite offense and made it that much better.
Well, and Joey, you mentioned Cleveland. This year, they tried to do the right thing. They bring in Tyrod Taylor. They were going to have Baker Mayfield sit behind him. And that all collapsed in 3 weeks. But Tyrod Taylor was playing really bad football. So if you're in that situation and you draft a guy number one overall and you've got the pressure of needing to win and the guy you picked to do the way to your strategy sucks, what do you do then?
Look for a new job. Yeah.
That's the damned Jackson if, is. That's there the damned go. If you do, damned if you
exactly.
don't.
Exactly. I mean, that is the nature of the NFL. I mean, there are so many things that go into these decisions, and they are not always based in the best interests of the player.
In honesty, and I'm not going to ask you for specifics, but I just think the coaching in the NFL is vastly overrated. Oh, yeah. I think there's a belief that because you're coaching in the NFL that you're the best.
Nope.
And I think that couldn't be further from the truth. How many people that you worked with did you feel were actually, I don't know, let's say elite coaches?
Okay. Jason Garrett, Mike Mularkey, Nick Saban. All three I had in Miami. I don't think Mike Mularkey is an elite head coach. I think he's an elite offensive coordinator.
North Turner-esque.
He's a brilliant offensive, just so creative, and so he makes the game simple. In Detroit, I'm trying to think. Elite. I think there were some very good coaches. I think Greg Olsen was a very good coach. I think that Steve Mariucci was a good head coach for the right team. It was not our team. I think Rod Marinelli is an elite defensive coordinator, not an elite head coach. Sean Payton, when I was in New Orleans, where did I go? Atlanta.
The good ones stick out, right?
Absolutely. And what happens so often in the NFL is guys will play for their job and they will coach for their job. And if you look at the coaching rosters from year to year, it's why they talk about coaching family trees. Because Andy Reid and Dennis Green and John Gruden and Steve Mariucci, all these groups come off of the Bill Walsh coaching tree. And those Bill Walsh coaching tree creates offensive line coaches and receiver coaches that go from one spot to the next and are there to get their pension. Let's be honest. These guys are not that much better. And oftentimes they are not better than the coaches in college football. Now, college football and NFL coaches, I generally believe, are better than high school coaches. I think that's a fair assessment. But the difference, but just because you are the best player in the NFL does not mean that you are coached by the best coach. I will hands down say that 90% of my quarterback coaching in the NFL, save for Jason Garrett and you know, maybe Bill Musgrave when I was in Atlanta, it was not better than what I got from Jeff Tedford at Oregon.
Would any of the coaches you had when you were playing for the Ducks have had success in the NFL, in your opinion?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bilotti would have. I think Tedford's circumstance was unfortunate with his health. I think Chris Peterson, he was our wide receiver coach at Oregon. Who else? Running backs. Gary Campbell was a college guy. I think Tom Osborne would have done fairly well in the NFL. He would have been a great special teams coach. I mean, you can go through, you know, a litany of guys that came through the Oregon program and would have done very well in the NFL.
I just remember bouncing around and seeing a lot of guys that I just scratched my head at and was kind of like, what are you here for? And then you saw others like Mike Tomlin was our DB coach in Tampa. And I'll tell you what, when you met Mike Tomlin, you knew that guy was going places. Mike Tomlin wasn't going to be a DB coach for very long. There was a, you can tell. But then there's a lot of other guys that you just look around and you'll be like, my God, like, how are you collecting a check?
Our tight end coach in Detroit had never played the game of football. He was 5'7", 158 pounds. Everything he knew about football, he had learned from reading a playbook. And he was coaching Steven Alexander. And he was coaching Marcus Pollard. And he was coaching guys that were Pro Bowl tight ends, and he couldn't teach him anything.
Yeah.
It is a good old boys network that looks out for their own. And when you get a head coaching job, you want to be surrounded by people that you know will support you, because that is what it is about. It is about keeping your job.
Joey Harrington sitting in with us here on Primetime with Lynch and Suk today. He is sticking around for one more segment where we get to a little bit more NFL and have some fun with some Mike Leach audio as well. That is next here on Primetime on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Tapped by Coors Light
on 1080 The Fan.
Joey Harrington joining us here on Primetime. He does every single Friday. Back to Mahomes quickly. The second prong that I wanted to ask about was the air raid offense and the quarterbacks in the air raid and how they translate to the NFL. We talked about this actually, was it a couple days ago?
Yeah.
And we went through a list of guys, and generally the air raid guys struggle in the NFL. Mahomes played at Texas Tech, air raid system to a T, and he is having wild success, granted having sat a year learning under Alex Smith and in a good offense with good skill players. Why is he the one standing out, and is it possible that air raid quarterbacks moving forward might have more success, or is it a kind of a case of a one guy got lucky or with a good situation?
I think that the NFL game has evolved from, you know, the air raid guys of the, the Cliff Kingsbury's, and I'm trying to think of Houston.
David Klingler, Andre Ware.
Yes, Andre Ware, absolutely. The NFL game has evolved, because so often you got those guys who just chucked it around all the time, and now you're going to put them in the pocket, you know, in front of an I-backs and ask them to do play action and pick up a side adjust, you know, off the fourth guy on the weak side. You know, that's not what they've done. There has been enough evolution in the NFL game to, I think, make more of these guys comfortable, because there really isn't that much difference between what Marcus Mariota did at Oregon and Patrick Mahomes did at Texas Tech. I mean, there's wrinkles, but it's all based on spreading the field. It's all based on creating mismatches and numbers matchups, and the NFL has adopted some of that style of play. Now, simply the fact that these athletes are off the scale good makes some of that impossible to do at the NFL level. But I think you combine that with the fact that he did sit for a year, because let's not forget that Andy Reid's offense. Andy Reid comes from the Bill Walsh and coaching tree. He is a West Coast guy who has done a good job of evolving, and credit to him for bringing in concepts that may have been foreign to him. And I think it speaks to why he's been able to sustain for so long and have so much success over a long period of time, is because he was willing to adopt those things that may have been foreign. But at his core, he is still a West Coast guy. And I think that having that year to sit and watch, combined with the fact that he's probably really, 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 really talented, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, we all want to look for like the sub-6-foot quarterback, right? Like if Russell Wilson has success, or Drew Brees, right?
Drew Brees barely hits 6 foot on a guy. He keeps that hair going up there, like, and he kind of wisps it up to make him look 6'1".
And so we all want to believe that, if Drew Brees can do it, then the next guy that's 5'11 can do it. If Drew Brees can find passing lanes, that's the most underrated thing, by the way, in football history, that guy is able to find passing windows.
Well, it looks like he stands on his tiptoes and looks over the offensive line.
It's one of the hardest things. It's also why they play so much in the gun. It gives you a better perspective. Yep. You can see over, but he finds windows. He finds lanes to throw. So when the next guy comes in that's 5'11", they're like, well, Drew Brees can do it. Why can't I? Well, it's like saying that, you know, like, go find me the best guitarist in the world. Carlos Santana can play the guitar. Why can't I? Well, because it's really hard to do. And so, you know, Patrick Mahomes has success coming out of the air raid. Well, then we should start drafting air raid guys. No, no, you shouldn't.
You're saying Gardner Minshew's not the next Patrick Mahomes?
No, he's not. It's hilarious that we find whatever exception, whatever outlier exists in the NFL, right? A left tackle with short arms, or a DB with tight hips, or a receiver that's a bad route runner. Randy Moss is a bad route runner. He wasn't great, but it didn't matter because
he was 6'5" and could grab the ball and run right by you.
Yes. And so then you end this rash of, well, he's a tall, lazy guy that's not a great route runner. Randy Moss is good at it. Let's draft the next guy. Stop with trying to find the exception. There's a reason why there's a mold that exists in the NFL. And yes, there's outliers to that, but there's a reason why most of the ones that have success fit in a certain kind of mold, because more often than not, that is the general skill set that you need to succeed. And it's not just a quarterback. It's at every position in the NFL, right? You can't make a left tackle out of a guy that's 6'2 with short arms. You can't do it. You have to have a certain makeup in order to have a realistic chance to succeed. One guy defies that. That's the thing that always makes me laugh about the NFL.
And before we let you go, Joey, we played this yesterday on the show. Mike Leach is a gem for audio. He's absolutely hilarious. And
was it the fat little girlfriend's quote? Is that what he played?
No, it was the which coach would win in a fight in the Pac-12.
Yeah, the Pac-12 coach fight.
God. Are you asking me which coach would win in a fight?
And I did lay out to hope that you would answer, yeah.
And more importantly, who wins, but who's last? That's what I'm more intrigued by. Right. Who's finishing last
like
in
Chip
the coach
Kelly's
fight?
Last, right?
Chris Peterson.
No, Pete is scrappy.
Really?
Pete is scrappy. You don't mess with Pete. Pete's got an anger to him. Oh yeah. You don't cross that guy. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Maybe Mike Leach is last.
I don't know.
I feel like Leach would fight
Mike's
dirty.
Mike's kind of conniving. Yeah.
I feel like Leach would pull a knife. Yeah, and like when no one like was looking,
the pirate
he would swashbuckle you or something. You know, he'd
shank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Chip Kelly last?
Like Chip doesn't look very athletic. Let's be honest.
I wouldn't put it past Herm.
No, Herm's scary. I feel like Herm's old school.
Yeah.
Like Herm would come out like Sharks and Jets, like West Side Story. It'd be like a denim vest that he would break out.
I was thinking
out.
More of like a 1930s boxer. Like he'd just come out like, yeah, like stand you. In front of you like, what do you yeah. got? Punch me in the face. Yeah. Okay, that's what you got. Now yeah. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah, Herm's sneaky. It may be Chip. And may be Chip finishing last.
Kyle Whittingham looks jacked, right? I feel like he would do well.
Yeah. I wouldn't, I might not put my money past Mario.
Yeah,
he's got some Saban in him.
Whittingham was around when I was at BYU because he's a BYU guy. The Whittingham works out with his players like they run like the hill, like there's a hill there with the big U on it.
Yeah.
He beats the vast majority of his players. Like Whittingham and Cristobal still look like they could whoop some ass. Like yeah. that's the one too. Although I'm intrigued now with this Chris Peterson thing.
I'm gonna put my money on Pete in the semifinals. I think Pete makes the final four. I've seen that guy lose it on people on the field. Yeah, Pete's my guy.
All right, Chris Peterson, the winner of the Pac-12 coach.
I didn't say he was winning. I said he made the
semifinals. Yeah. Final four of the Pac-12
yes,
coach.
Yes, exactly.
Fight. All right, thank you so much for coming in, Joey. Appreciate it. And not sure what we're doing next week with Thanksgiving, but we'll chat with you soon.
I'll be around. You know, fine.
All right. How about my hard-hitting probing questions?
Boy,
in that?
You were so good.
I was good in that.
You missed the coach fight. That was like the best thing we did all week.
Yeah, I that was the first I'd heard of it.
Yeah. You're going to sort that through because there's so many. Like, I think Wilcox is vastly underrated.
Well, my.
So somebody asked Leach.
Yes.
Who would win in a Pac-12 coaches?
It was the weekly student question.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Leach went on for like 2 minutes.
Of course he did.
And broke it down.
That's why he's great.
He took it very seriously.
That's 50% stupid.
And you think about it, it's very intriguing because there's not a lot of easy answers.
What?
I mean, clearly Cristobal and Whittingham are 1-2 in the power rankings, like if you're seeding.
Mm-hmm.
But you get after that, there's a lot of questions. And who is last? Like, I think my third seeding is Wilcox. You're telling me growing up in that family, you have to be ready to fight at a moment's notice. Growing up with Josh, you got to be ready for that guy to punch you at a moment's
notice.
And
he's older.
And he's older.
He's got older brother strength.
Yes. And Wilcox, you know, still in shape. I feel like he's scrappy. Joey threw out a Chris Peterson, who I thought was near the bottom of my rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Although worst is probably Chip.
Is Herm scrappy?
I bet you Herm can still whoop some ass.
I bet you he's scrappy.
Yeah. Herm's, you know, he was a badass back in the day.
Do we think Sumlin's got much?
I don't know. He's kind of rotund. I feel like Sumlin. See, I feel like people are going to put Sumlin up there, and I put him near the bottom. I bet you Shaw still has something in the tank, though.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. So as Mike said, I don't know what's going to go on next week. Probably no Joey next week.
Probably not.
But we'll get back to it the week after. All right. Coming up next, The Club on The Fan.